Good morning. Welcome to Kingdom School. This is part three of Principles of Prayer, and I'll be wrapping it up today, and then Pastor Jeff will be teaching next week.
Amen.
Amen. So as I was debating about how to open this today, I was thinking about everything I have taught already, and just want to reiterate that our position in Christ is essential, that we look at things from a heavenly perspective. The other thing is, for effective prayer, we need to know our enemy. We need to know what we're dealing with. And also to know God's character as best as we are able as we study the scriptures, to see what portion of God's character we're looking for to minister to people. Lord Sabaoth is different than the Good Shepherd, who is different than Emmanuel. And so in order to be able to connect with the gold that's inside, to connect with the divine that's inside different people, whether they're saved or unsaved, it's important to be able to recognize what part of God they lean towards so that you have some kind of a connection with them. So there was, I love Corrie ten Boom, and one of her quotes that I just basically said from her book, Tramping for the Lord, was, we need to recognize the enemy in order to overcome him. So it's our job to, the word says that the Lord conceals things for us to find out. So he wants us to pursue him in whatever position he's in at the moment, in our circumstances, to pursue him so that we can best know how to handle things.
What does it say? It's the glory of the Lord to conceal the matter. It's the glory of a king to search it out.
That's exactly right.
So if you want glory, become a king and search for it.
That's right. And it's awesome.
I am a king.
It's awesome. And to
act like it.
You want to be a better one.
Yeah, we all could be a better one.
There you go.
We all could be a better one, and we're all in. We all have the privilege of being part of the King's court here on Earth, and so he's sitting in his chair, and he's waiting for us to exercise our rights as mature sons of God, that Jesus's heart would be fulfilled, that the kingdom would come, and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's our job to bring heaven to earth. We talked about positioning, Solomon's position before the Lord. Even the Samaritan woman's position before the Lord, she knew her position. If we go through all of the different strategies of prayer in the Bible, you can glean great principles from Jehoshaphat and Gideon, and David won so many battles. There was always a strategy. We don't go about prayer haphazardly, although it might seem that way for some, but even Jesus said to the devil in the wilderness, you know, it is written, and that's what I love, is that the one way to fight the enemy is to remind him of who God is and what he said. So today I want to talk a little bit about redemption and redemptive prayers and reconciliation prayers and prophetic prayers. So hopefully I'll be able to get through some of it and that you guys can contribute. So I would just like to know, when there's a scripture that the Lord, when he was teaching his disciples, he was teaching them about how to pray for others and how to pray for themselves. And it was from John chapter 16. So I want to just ask you guys, when you pray for the unsaved, do you pray the same as for a saved person?
I change.
So what is the principles that you use Like, why do you, okay, so you say, I don't pray the same for a saved person as I do an unsaved person. So share why, and, you know, and what is your scriptural basis for that? Why don't you pray the same?
I don't pray the same because their position is different. So an unsaved person, I pray that people would stumble in their past, that they'd have to crawl over the top of them, mm-hmm. and that they would be able to hear it the way they need to hear it, mm-hmm. They would come into that understanding.
So who is, when we do that, then who is the change agent in this circumstance? Scripturally.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right. And
I mean, scripture, the basis is God says, I look for a man that would stand in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And that's the position I feel like I'm taking. I'm standing in the gap between this person and God.
Definitely.
And I believe Jesus himself does that because he is the chief intercessor.
Absolutely.
So he stands in the gap also. So I try to model according to that.
Right.
Well, I look at it also. They need to understand they're loved.
That's
and
right.
They're loved by a God, but they've got to receive the revelation of it.
Right.
And it's true, a believer has received the revelation. It may not be enough as God would desire, but the unbeliever doesn't.
That's
they
right.
They just don't have it. And so my prayer is always that God would reveal himself to them in whatever it takes to get there.
And after a while I get serious about somebody unsaved, I start going into Hosea where it says, I'm going to save them anyway.
That's right.
You start getting into the scriptural references that God will ask us to stand in the gap. Then I believe God will shift, tell us to put the demands on his word, which I'll save them, even though they do not, mm-hmm. they have not the legality of their salvation is out there. I'm going to save them anyway. And that comes from seeing that scripture on my mom's refrigerator with my name on it.
Right.
So
personal experience.
She knew how to pray.
There's a statement that Todd White has done to people. Can I pray for you? And they go, no, it's too late. I already did.
Yeah.
I find that I'll have people who are saved call me and they'll say, hey, can you pray for this job for me or can you pray for this for me? And for years I would pray for whatever they asked me to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm listening to them sometimes and I'm hearing the Lord say things, so my standard is usually, God, may your will be done.
Yeah.
In their life. Because one time I had a guy call me and he says, hey, I need you to pray for this job. I really need this job. And I'm sitting there hearing the Holy Spirit go, he doesn't need it. I'm about to take care of him and it's the wrong job for him.
Yeah.
So pray that my will be done and that he'll receive my will. And
sure.
It's sometimes we think we know what we need prayer for.
I think
for
if you're going into prayer, we actually will facilitate what they need because you know, it's kind of like praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're praying the mysteries of God, and in the mysteries
right.
of God, he'll actually give you what you need. And,
correct.
And
that's
so
right.
if we're going to be that intercessor, I think we've got to be flexible.
Yes.
In what we're hearing God prompt us to do.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely true. I'm going to give you the scripture from John 16. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, and when he is come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And then he goes on to say to the disciples, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you, he's talking to his disciples, into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So what Marianne was saying is true. We have to take the opportunity to avail the Holy Spirit in his capacity, in his loving kindness, his goodness, his direction to people that are not saved, instead of just, you know, saying.
Well, and the whole, it says there that he will glorify me.
Exactly.
Because sometimes the Holy Spirit has to reveal who Jesus is to somebody.
Yeah.
And when he is revealed, then the salvation can come.
Right. And that's when we can cry out, Abba, Father, and we know that we're connected. But it's good to, a lot of time, I personally, in praying for the unsaved or hearing others pray for the unsaved over the years, I very rarely have heard anyone say, Holy Spirit, would you open the eyes of their understanding? Or Holy Spirit, would you reveal to them the love of their Heavenly Father? Very rarely. And Holy Spirit seems to be left in the back burner all the time, when in fact it's Him who opens up the Word. And
can I throw something out that may tweak you?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel it's right.
Yeah.
If I'm standing in the gap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And I know that there's a sin issue that is blocking their ability to see.
Yeah.
I'll repent for their sin.
Oh, yeah.
I repent for their sin.
Yes.
And have the legality of that repentance. The devil has to loose the blinding that he's doing.
Absolutely.
And I'll go in very specific if I know what that is. Therefore, the enemy doesn't have a legal right to keep them blinded, and then they can see Christ.
Right.
Oh, that's good. I think we're looking at two different situations. I pray for people, and I may never see them again. It's a one-time shot that I get.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about people that you have consistent
I got people last name of Coker.
Right. But you're consistently with them. You've got a chance to go level by level, layer by layer by layer.
Right.
So to some extent, there's a slightly different approach.
Yeah, but if you had a coworker that you're working with, I mean, that's a consistent assignment of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will take on different dimensions as the Holy Spirit reveals to you.
That's the truth. I want to share.
Real quick, one of the things with Mary Ann, because going into the hospital, there was some time years ago that Christiana went with her, and she's praying for people, and they go into the room because they ask permission, may I pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Ann asked permission, remember that? And you asked permission to pray for them, and they said no. And Christiana said, can I pray for you? And they go, yes.
An 18-year-old was far more better than an older woman.
And you know what? She backs her up, said, let's go. You know?
Yeah. But it has to be their choice.
It does have to be their choice. But I've also found that people who refuse to let me pray for them, I say, well, then I just bless you with good health. They don't know I'm standing there praying for them. Good. And I just watch their resistance melt away. Oh, and smiles come out. Oh, thank you so much. And then I go outside the door and pray like right
Yeah, because you can. We're going to talk about reconciliation prayers, and that's what Charlie was just saying. But I want to give you this scripture that... you know, I've been praying for, I have two children that have been away from the Lord for many years, decades. And the Lord led me to Isaiah 42, verses 16 through 18. And I use it for my children. But I'll also use it when I'm standing in the gap for people that don't know any better. It's a promise from the Lord. It says, I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and the crooked places straight.
Come on.
These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molten images, you are our gods. And the declaration that he makes is, hear you deaf and look you blind that you may see.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
That's
Karen, some more goodness.
That's got some goody juice on it.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that translation too. Yeah.
What translation is that?
The New King James.
New King James?
Yeah. It's Isaiah 42 verses 16 through 18.
When our son was going through what he's going through, I had a discussion with Karen, and Karen gave me the list that you prayed.
Yeah.
And whether you knew it or not, but I was praying those lists, and that's one of them that I...
Oh, yeah, I love that one.
Well, I think personally, you can take this into the courts of heaven during your prayer time.
Oh, yeah.
There is an access to the legalities of this.
Oh, sure.
You're taking a document with you.
Absolutely.
You're kicking butt and taking names.
Absolutely. I'll give you another one from Isaiah 49, verses 24. and 25. And this is another one I pray for my children. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children.
Mm-hmm. 49 what?
Verses 24 and 25.
Listen to the message on this. This is really... Can plunder be retrieved from a giant? Prisoners of war gotten back from a tyrant?
Yes.
But God says, even if a giant grips the plunder and a tyrant holds my people prisoner, I'm the one who's on your side, defending your cause, rescuing your children.
Amen.
Come on.
That's good.
Yeah.
That dog will hunt.
Yeah, so there's lots of awesome, I mean, one of my favorite books to find scriptures like that is the book of Isaiah. But to really go before the Lord on behalf of the unsaved or the totally troubled with the word of God is just like I said, I love it because that's what Jesus did to the enemies, that it is written. So I like reminding him of his word. So that's really important. And compassion and empathy for those that are not saved. You know, when we were out on the street, Miriam and I went out on the street with Joan and David, and we were praying for people. You know, a lot of them were, I would have to say most of them were alcoholics and in very bad condition. Some of them were not saved. But the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for this one guy I started to pray for. And, you know, I mean, he told me he was raised Baptist and, you know, he knew the Lord when he was a child. And I just started talking to him and praying for him that, because the Holy Spirit is the sevenfold spirit. It has all the gifts and all the fruits. And we can reach into that and begin to pray those over, that the Holy Spirit would reveal those things. If they know the Lord, then he's in there somewhere. He might be, you know.
Might be under some dirt, but he's still there.
He's still there. So if you appeal to what's there and speak to the Holy Spirit in them that's there and encourage, edify, you know, it was really, really wonderful to see the countenance of people change when you are giving them a living word.
Karen, so you were talking about the Holy Spirit, to pray the Holy Spirit to reveal, to soften.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, and this is a question.
Yeah.
And so I can straighten my mind out. And where you just said, if they had once received the Lord, that you had to take the dust off. Well, if someone never receive the Lord, how can the Holy Spirit do anything, because the Holy Spirit's not in them? They can reveal it to us. And what I'm hearing you say is that where the prayer is to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to them. Well, if the Holy Spirit is not in them, how can they reveal? And maybe there's something I haven't learned, or there's a scripture saying that he can do that?
Okay, John 16:8, Jesus himself says that the Holy Spirit comes to reprove the world of sin.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit is here on this earth it's his job to reveal Christ to every single individual that's been created. So Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, which he did, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Right.
So he has a job to do. That's why I'm saying that if you're going to pray for somebody who is unsaved to introduce them to the Holy Spirit, that they're aware that there is a living entity that's within them, that's within this world. He's there to do a job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw. Like, it's the Holy Spirit's job to add to the church. He adds to the church. He convicts people of sin. I'm not going to convict anybody of sin. My begging somebody to come to know Christ, or, oh, you know, if you come to know Jesus, you know, your life's going to be great. It's the Holy Spirit's job. So that's why when I pray for somebody that's not saved, as I say, do you know the Lord? And if they say, no, I don't know the Lord, then I will ask the Holy Spirit. I say, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal him to you, because he is the breath of God. He is the life that's within inside of everyone. It's just taking it into consideration. There's so many scriptures.
I mean, it says that everyone's been given a measure of faith.
That's right.
Sometime I'll talk to the measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to the measure of faith, and I tell it to man up.
Tell it to
man, man up.
Yeah.
And receive the revelation from the Holy Spirit who Jesus is.
Because that's the only way to go.
You know, really? Every man's been given a measure of faith.
That's right.
Talk to it.
I like that.
Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it.
They believe. All they have to do is look around. Even the Lord said himself, all you have to do is look around. You're without excuse to know that there is a higher power.
Fields are right.
Yeah. So, okay, reconciliation prayers. Yes.
Now, keep going.
Oh. So, you're talking about standing in the gap for generational sin. So we're,
is that what you would call that?
Reconciliation, yeah. Because because the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 is, you know, that he wants everything reconciled to himself. So right. It's like, how do we do that? And one of the ways we do that is by standing in the gap, and you can stand in the gap for generational sins. So because the iniquity of sin is visited upon the children to the third and fourth generations, this is something that we have to take into consideration.
What was your scripture?
Exodus 20, verse 5. The Lord, I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. So this is the premise, this is the reason why we have to stand in the gap and be aware that we can, we have the authority, like Charlie said, we have the authority. So
I think we have the mandate.
We have
the authority. The problem is that there's actually a mandate.
Right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The Lord is waiting on us. You know, the earth is waiting on us for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting. They're waiting for us to stand in our authority and exercise our authority. I'm going to give you this one example. It's from Joshua 9, verses 1 through 15. It's the story about the Gibeonites, how they tricked Joshua into making a covenant with them. So Joshua and all the leaders of the congregation made the covenant with the Gibeonites, let them live, not destroy them. Were the Israelites tricked? Yes, but they were bound by that covenant because they made a covenant. So there was about 500 years between Joshua and Saul, but when Saul attacked the Gibeonites in 2 Samuel, it resulted in a curse because he broke the covenant that Joshua had made. So there was a curse on Israel, and it came after Saul's death. So, you know, you realize this, that Joshua's dead, Saul's dead, but the covenant is still in place. So the man Saul who broke the covenant was dead, but God still wanted atonement for the broken covenant. So famine fell on the land, and it didn't end until David took steps to
it. David did restore it.
Right. So the thing is that a lot of times we come in contact with people that may not necessarily be aware that their tangled up mess is because of covenants that were made,
and the problem is
by their ancestors.
By their ancestors, and we think we're an island unto ourselves.
Right.
So
but we're
how,
not.
How did they restore it? By repenting?
By repenting, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing in marriage.
Yes.
If you go through a divorce,
yes.
The divorce is there, but the covenant is still there.
And you have to repent.
And someone's got to repent. Either or both have to repent if they want to have a fruitful life.
Well, see, here's the problem. I mean, we don't understand the power of covenants. Mm-hmm. When you don't understand the power of covenants, then you just overlook it. You know, when you go into deliverance with somebody, they got 47 soul ties because they slept with all these people.
Right.
And having a sexual union is a covenant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they think that because they walk away the next morning that they're not attached, and they got holes all through their spirit, man.
Right.
Yeah. Got all this access, all these open portals of the enemy.
Yes.
And you wonder why they have no peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they've made sex is a covenant.
Right.
Okay. If just look at our society, and we've broken covenants, and this is going back to the ancient principles.
Right.
Of national covenants.
Right.
Well, that
that's right.
Same principle works individually.
Right. That's right.
So where's that at?
So the story.
You were talking about the.
Yeah, I mean, you could find the story in Joshua 9. And 2 Samuel 21. But Numbers 14 and Numbers 16 gives you two examples of how God pardoned sin at the intercession of Moses and how he stayed a plague at the intercession of Aaron. So we have the authority to stop the plague or the sin.
Here's an example of what she's laying this out in Scripture, which has got to be our foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up in New York, and God says to me, I want you to go up to this particular ministry. Mm-hmm. I want you to do this, 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 and this. I'm like, I'm not doing that. People ain't going to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was a historical covenant that they made with the city when they bought the property.
Mm-hmm.
The former owner of that school had made a covenant with the city. Mm-hmm. And the university in Syracuse. And when they purchased it, they broke the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still intact in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some evidence in the natural that covenant had never been repented for.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you wonder why you're plowing against the enemy, is the enemy has a legal right.
Right, exactly. He
understands covenant more than we do.
That's right. So one of the things I was going to talk about was reconciliation of cities, lands, and places, which is something that we have the authority to do. I mean, even when you think about how God placed Identity Church here in this area, and I was just sharing with him about, I would love to put together a prayer team to begin to find these broken covenants, repent of them, so that this place can shine brighter and brighter and brighter in this community.
So do you have to, sorry for all the questions, but this is intriguing to me. So do you have to find these specific covenants? Or will God, can you just say, okay, any covenant that has been made in my generation?
I think you go after him in a broad sense.
Mm-hmm. When's your bloodline?
And then God will narrow it down.
Oh, sure. He definitely
You go after
will.
It in a broad sense.
He definitely will.
I have done some of this at some of the gates in our city and region right here.
Mm-hmm.
Through some of her prompting, I'm saying, okay, God, I've already done mm-hmm. this. All right. Here's kind of a, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to redo some of this because I'm sitting in a different seat
mm-hmm.
of authority than I did 10 years ago.
Right. And also you have people that come in that bring in things, we're a very transient state.
So what we wanted to try to do is, oh, we've done that. We push it all to the side. We've already done that. That's old school. We've done that. And here lately, because I'm kind of in where are we going, how are we getting there.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. some of this you have to revisit because you're sitting in a different seat.
Right.
I know personally I'm sitting in a different seat.
Right.
And my tendency says, I've already done this.
Right. But we have to keep going.
Okay.
Keep
then if I've already done this, how come I'm still battling it?
Right.
So there's your question. New levels, new levels.
I think some of that.
No, oh, absolutely.
Some of that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I want to read something from... Orlando, we had a murder, 67 murders in 3 months in Orlando several years ago, and we started, the people there got together, the intercessor, we started praying. Now, this comes, the Orlando Police Department recognized what prayer did. So I'm going to read this. In a merely 40 days, mercy prayers affected a 27% crime drop within the most violent crime district of Orlando, Florida. 2 years later, the Orlando Police Department reported a further 20% crime reduction. The police chief publicly acknowledged that the 2-year prayer campaign conducted on the corner of Conley and Westmoreland In the heart of the crime district was the change agent for justice.
Crime Hills?
Yeah. So, but we went back to every place where murder was committed, and we consecrated the ground over and over again, especially, not just once.
See, listen, the principle is this. God comes to Abel.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Cain's blood has cried out.
That's right, and it's still crying out.
Okay, when there's a murder, when there's an injustice, the land cries out.
That's right.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching the time. I got prophetic intercession I want to do, but the scripture okay. He's referring to is Jeremiah 23:10. The land mourns because of the sin. Joel 1:10. The ground mourns because of the sin. So, and the Lord even pronounced woe on many, many cities that won't escape judgment at the end, you know? So anyway, it's very important to go back and to take authority with your prayers of reconciliation over the areas where we live. We want spiritual authority in this area. We need to go out and get it. So prophetic prayers. So prophetic prayers would be to take a prophetic word, a word given by a seasoned prophet over an area and praying it through. And one example that's a national prophetic word is Lance Wallnau's Cyrus decree over this United States, calling Isaiah 45, calling President Trump the Cyrus of this generation, this hour.
Our nation.
Our nation right now. There's many examples in the Word of God's prophetic declarations over Israel, Jeremiah 31, 35, Exodus 31, 16. And we're told in Revelation 19:10 that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give his word as an example. So in 2016, Charlie gave a word over this house about the rolling pin word. It had to do with money. Now, the intercessors, we pray into that word, not every single week, but we do pray into that word when we're prompted by the Lord, and we'll take it, and I'll read it, and we'll pray it through from the beginning to end. There is a condition attached to his word, and the condition is that if we're not wise with the word that was given, that we will suffer financially because of it. So for me, it's interesting to see that we are in this semi-financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And I believe part of it is because we have not heeded fully the word that was given by the Lord. Just like yesterday, I shared a word that the Lord gave in 2016. We really have not heeded it, so we haven't benefited by it. Brad gave a word about us being a spiritual hospital, but the condition was that we had to each take up our place where we fit in this big puzzle. A hospital has nurses, they have people,
full staff,
they have all different receptionists, they have doctors, nurses, kinds of things. But you see, when the Lord gives a word, just like, you know, he gave the word to Nineveh, he gives the word to Israel. There's always conditions if you want to benefit fully by the word. And I think that for this house or any house out there to function in the glory realm, in the realm of signs and wonders, the Bible tells me that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. The Bible tells me that goodness and mercy will follow me. So you have to ask yourself, what's your buy-in? That was your word. What is the buy-in of your heart into a word that is given, whether it's over your life or over your ministry or over your church? What's the buy-in? And if you want the benefit, the fulfillment of the word, would you agree?
100%.
I know. I see you shaking your head. It's exciting. It is exciting.
But the word is just the first portion of it. There's everything else that
that follows.
There's execution. There's even flexibility within it, but you got to go pursue it.
You have to pursue it. You absolutely have to pursue it. And so when we pray for people, like if you were, you know, if it was altar ministry or if it was Walmart or, you know, anywhere, like Todd White's a great example, you know, to be able to go anywhere in the world and be able to see what's inside, see God's desire for a particular person and edify them and exhort them and build them up in that word that you see. And I think that it's something, it is like walking around like Santa Claus with a bag of wrapped presents in your backpack. And to be able to present anyone, whether they're, you think they're worthy or not, whether they're Christian or not, whether they're rich or they're poor, doesn't matter their station in life or their age, but we walk around with this opportunity to share a gift of the prophetic word of God that someone can benefit by it in their life. So, yes, sir.
So, a prophetic word is spoken over somebody or an organization, a country. Who's responding? And you said that that's only the beginning of it that has to be enacted upon.
Yeah.
Whose responsibility is it to enact, as I've seen so many prophetic words spoken, and then it was forgotten, like, okay, and it never happened. So whose responsibility would it be, like on Brad's, whose responsibility to ensure that the intercessors, hospital is being built?
The intercessors have been documenting that, praying.
We've been documenting everything, right, but whose responsibility?
If you don't have an intercessor, I'm talking about it.
It's whoever hears the word.
Whoever hears it. Spoke the word.
He spoke the word. Okay, I mean, he delivered the word. That was his part. Okay. His part as an individual is to press into that word as an individual. But on every ear that it falls upon, that's your responsibility to press into what God is saying. It's like you don't want to be, I think, the church in general is like Israel of old, where the prophets came and the prophets spoke the word of the Lord, and it fell on deaf ears. Right. And what ultimately happened was sin came into the camp, they were turned away to other idols, and that's what's happened to the church in this country. There are many, many prophets over the last 100 years that have spoken words over us, and it's like, get your butt in gear and get going. The Lord wants his kingdom. He wants the United States of America. He wants Florida. He wants your family, myself as an individual, you as an individual. He wants his light to shine before men, that they see our good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Amen. That's what he wants. So, and we're lazy. We don't press into the prophetic word of the Lord.
So on that word spot, I'm just using Brad's word.
Yeah, right.
And as a believer, I don't see it being enacted upon. Is it my responsibility to go to the person in charge? Say, wait a minute. And talk, say, go to Pastor Charlie. Say, Pastor Charlie, there's a word spoken on this church.
There's a word spoken on the church. Part of it may be your gifting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part you own.
Right.
And say, hey, I'm supposed to run. There's my buy-in.
Right.
That's my buy-in to that word. Okay. You got to have a personal buy-in.
That's right.
And you can't even carry that out if you don't have a really strong relationship with the Lord on a personal level to start with.
Right.
So, I mean, and part of it is just being serious about God speaking.
Right. That's the other part.
You know, there's always a timing issue. There's always a God's working something out to work something in.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I've got prophecies that's 25 years old, and I'm just now starting to see.
Yeah.
Well, I could have quit a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, I still got a plane coming.
Yes, you do.
Reminded him that the other day.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? Then why did you give up your pilot's license?
Oh, God.
Oops. Okay.
I had one. Gave it up.
Whoops.
So what do you do with that? You know, so am I fulfilling that word?
you're not capable at this
point. Well, no, I'm just want someone, I want a pilot to come with it. but, you know, at my age and where I'm at, I really don't want to go back and start flying again. But yeah. But that was my original, when I got the intention. Prophecy, that was the thing. I mean, yeah. I was going to go get my ticket to fly. But
yeah. All right.
You see, there's the correlation.
Right.
I mean, I got some prophecies that are 25 years old mm-hmm. that I can look at them. They may shift because I am 58 years old and I'm not mm-hmm. 35 anymore.
Yeah.
Some of that has to shift just physically, yeah. but not the promise.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It'll come in a different form, but the promise is still there.
Yes. So in wrapping this up, I just want to say thank you. I pray that whomever has been listening and whoever has been here has been provoked to get to know the Lord a little bit better, get to know His heart concerning circumstances and His creation and His created beings, no matter where they are in the world, no matter what their standing is in the world, and that we would challenge ourselves, that it would be a challenge ourselves to move forward into determining to listen better to what the Lord has to say and appropriating what He's saying to us in our everyday lives. And remember what I said in the very beginning about our conversation with the Lord, that we would develop our conversation with the Lord all day long, every day, so that we can hear His heart better. And I think about John, that our ear would be on his chest so that we can appropriate heaven on earth on purpose and have it
the on scripture purpose. Just jumped out.
Go ahead.
2 Corinthians 6:1, working together with Him.
Yep.
Then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
That's right.
For He says, in a favorable time I listened to you.
That's right.
And in a day of salvation I have helped you.
Amen. That's it.
Come on, no way.
That is it.
That's the bottom line right there.
That is the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
I might even underline it.
So I bless really you good. As you co-labor with the Lord, and thank you for joining us, and join us for our service. And next week Pastor Jeff will be sharing at Kingdom School. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.